Hey, so the world failed to end.
Oh, hey.
Hey, we're still here.
Yeah.
I got to pay my rent. Crap.
Yeah, so I thought I'd use the important things happening because the world didn't end, I guess. But
if this were on television, we'd have like a big rotating graphic. Of
absolutely,
words.
Yeah. Right.
World fails to end.
This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Joining me today is Ranjan. How are you?
I am doing very well.
And Dave, how are you?
Hip hip hooray.
Yeah, hey. So apparently the world was supposed to end this week if you didn't hear.
How many apocalypses, apocalyptic?
Let me check my punch card. Hang on.
more
survived nine. I think on the 10th one I get a mocha.
More importantly, what is, and the fact that there has to be a conversation about this is hilarious, but what is the plural of apocalypse?
That is a really good question. I don't know. Like what the
apocalypto?
Apocalypti?
Apocalyptopodes?
Apocalyptopodies?
Right. Well, there's also like the ongoing apocalypse, which is an apocalypses.
Very good.
A little punctuation for the guys.
So if you go through seven apocalypses, on your eighth, you get a free dinner at Golden Corral, the official church of weird Christian meetings.
You mean it's not Chick-fil-A?
No, that's that's moneyed Christian meetings. We're talking about the weird ones where, you know, Christian Brotherhood. You know what I mean? Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7.
How much money have we raised?
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, speaking of the world ending, the Ten Commandments monument on Oklahoma State Capitol grounds was removed this week. Construction crews worked overnight on Monday to remove the 2-ton granite statue. I think it was made out of granite?
Yep.
The monument was moved at night to ensure the workers weren't disturbed and to prevent protesters from complicating the project. The monument will be held in storage at a local conservative think tank. Former state representative Mike Reynolds, who originally authorized the monument, was present and said, "Now we know we have to change the Constitution. It would be good to get rid of some of the Supreme Court justices, too." Governor Mary Fallon is calling for the state's constitution to be amended to allow the monument to return.
I love this comment about it'd be nice to get rid of some Supreme Court justices, because that's the way the courts work. If they do something you don't like, you get rid of them, right? That's how the system's set up in this country.
That's the whole point, right?
Oh, wait. The justices dispense justice. They told us what justice is. We need less of that.
Wow, we talk about this justice thing a lot, but it actually kind of stinks. Let's get rid of it.
Right. I like all the decisions to be made by, like, two holy dice.
The holy dice and this book about huts.
Right.
And uncleanliness and shellfish.
And people turning into condiments.
Yeah. It's very weird. Better than justice somehow. So I've had a week.
Yeah. It's important to point out that this is actually the second time it was removed, right? The first time it was removed was forcibly.
I don't know. They've been hokey pokeying this darned monument for what? We've been talking about this for like 2 years.
We've been talking about this for about a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, there was the guy who got drunk and ran his truck into the monument, and then they rebuilt it so that they could finish the lawsuit about whether or not they could keep it.
Like, was getting drunk and running? This is the thing I've never been able to figure out. Was getting drunk and running into the monument a protest, or was it just Oklahoma?
It was just Oklahoma.
Yeah. Florida man runs over monument. Oklahoma edition. So the monument, the original plan, I think, was that they wanted to move the monument off of state grounds. And then even if they moved it off of state grounds, it was still built with state funds, and so it was still a violation.
Right.
And then so there's
I don't think that's correct.
Oh, was that somebody?
No.
That was the Arizona monument.
Yes. This one was privately funded, but they were insistent on keeping it on the state grounds. They wouldn't move it.
Okay.
So here's the thing. They have a monument made with public funds, and then they get sued for that and they lose and they have to give people money or whatever. The thing is still made with public funds. Are you supposed to like hit it with hammers until it's not made with public funds anymore?
Right.
What's the procedure there?
I think the procedure should be they should auction it off.
Uh-huh.
And then whoever wins, they have to give the money to the state, and then the state has that money back. Which
so you lose a lawsuit and they give you money.
No, but you get the money back, which means the state actually has that money back, which means it's no longer, it might be built with state funds, but now that state, those state funds have been returned, if you will.
But look at it
this
from
kind of like the Donald Sterling sale of the Clippers. It's like somebody had to like win the racist raffle and buy the damn team from him.
Right. But I mean, look at it from Jimmy Fallon.
Baldwin,
oh, I'm sorry,
course,
Mary Fallon's, you know, sort of perspective here. She pays, you know, governor, whatever, politician, uses state money to get a monument. They get sued. They lose. Money comes back. So you losing gets you money. This is like the producers. Like, what? How does this work?
And more importantly, she's now saying, okay, we need to adjust the Constitution so we can get it back because we haven't had enough trouble with this thing. So,
yeah.
All right. So what's the over on, what's the Vegas over under on whether or not this story's over or not? See what I did there?
It's an election year. So seriously, it's an election year. So somebody's going to go ahead and decide they're going to make hay out of it. There's, I mean, there's still, what, 16 GOP guys in the clown car who are running for the nomination. So one of them, Huckabee, I'm guessing, is going to decide that this is his cause du jour.
Well, and Huckabee riding the Kim Davis train to nowhere brought him exactly to where that train ended.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this I'm guessing at least the story still has legs. The monument probably itself won't come back because the wheels of legislature and the wheels of legislation and the wheels of definitely the wheels of constitutional change
and the wheels of constantly moving this dirt thing around
in agile and dynamic Oklahoma I'm in form but even in Oklahoma I cannot imagine that this moves fast enough that a constitutional change or even a local law change in a charged election year moves fast enough for this monument to move back. So I believe the story will continue for probably another 12 to 15 months, but I do not believe the monument's going to come back anytime soon.
I think it's worth just remembering every sort of weird, like, crazy twist and turn the story has taken from the Satanic Temple applying and coming up with a statue that they actually built to put next to this thing.
Oh,
and
then the statue of Bahomet, like that. They actually want. Yeah,
that, this is the one they were going to put that next to. And then there was a Hindu guy who wanted to put a statue of which one? It wasn't Ganesh.
It was Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Yeah.
And then there's the drunk guy Oklahoma-ing his truck over the monument.
Now what god is that
worshiping? Verb Oklahoma?
Yes, I did.
Okie dokie.
What?
All right, hashtag Oklahoma-ing, kids.
Yeah, so what deity is being venerated by pickup truck granite destroying?
I'm going to go with Dionysus.
Okay. I was going to say Jim Beam, personally.
Is there a god of internal combustion? As a motorcyclist, I should probably know.
Yeah, that's kind of up your alley, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got an email. This is Joe from Mount Vernon, who writes, I was just curious why Christians are singled out on matters of prayer and their beliefs. I never see a thing about anybody having a problem with allowing Muslims to pray anywhere and everywhere. They are catered to, and we don't dare complain, or we are being hateful.
I apologize. I don't know the details of this, and I probably should have boned up on this one because I knew this story was this letter was coming. But there was a chapel recently that removed their pews because the chapel is supposed to be an interfaith chapel in like a healthcare facility. They removed their pews so that Muslims could use the facility as well as Christians, knowing with the guidance basically that there are chairs, and if the Christians want to set up chairs, they can set up chairs and they can use it. But if there are chairs, then it interferes with Muslims being able to use the facility by being able to use.
No, if it's
floor.
A multi-use facility, that makes sense.
Well, yes. It makes sense, but
it's supposed to
stop everybody from going completely crazy.
Well, I would challenge the underpinnings of this one. Like, oh yeah, Muslims pray all the time. Nobody cares about that. Yeah, I can't go like, you know, 8 miles down I-5 without seeing a million Muslims praying. Where are you that you are seeing this? I think part of it is opportunity. Challenge here.
I will admit to being not the most well-traveled person in the history of the planet, but I don't think I've ever encountered in public a Muslim praying ever. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that. I wouldn't have a problem if I did.
Yeah,
but it's just he actually says nobody has a problem with allowing Muslims to pray anywhere and everywhere. I've never seen that.
Well, Yeah, I mean, part of it is I've not seen, I mean, I have seen Muslims praying, but I've not seen them sort of weaponize it in the same way that...
like they're not praying in the middle of Times Square and blocking traffic. Well, okay, yeah. Times Square's a bad example because it's a walking area now, but like they're not praying in the middle of like Ave America.
Right.
And saying, well, I need to face east and this is the best view, so I'm gonna go ahead and block the box and cause gridlock and pray in the middle of the intersection and now the 25 can't come through.
Yeah.
And screw you because I'm a Muslim and this is my thing.
Right.
That's not really happening.
No.
So... I think the complaints that come up about Muslims praying isn't about actual Muslims actually praying.
I think from a psychological perspective, I'm not talking about the supernatural end of it at all, because of course the supernatural end doesn't work. But on one level, you've got the praying because it's a veneration of my God and because it's part of what I believe in and I'm compelled to because of the tenets of my religion, and that's just praying. Praying with myself. Anyway, and then there's the other one, which is I'm praying at you. Mm-hmm. Not for you, not with you. I'm praying at you. I am going to pray at you as hard as I can. So you get how much I hate you and everything you stand for. Love God.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like somehow praying they take on the avatar of their creator and therefore can smite you because obviously God isn't moving fast enough for them.
Right.
Is this like a summon Bahamut spell in Final Fantasy?
Well, we had, yeah.
Our initiative.
Right. We had the Church of Satan with their statue of them earlier, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Did that work out?
I think it's a Baphomet versus Bahamut, but okay.
Yeah. They're two different. They're right. Two different ones.
Yes.
You would know.
Yes, yes.
Being a bit of a Final Fantasy nerd about that.
Yes. I am a total Final Fantasy nerd. I played every one of them, including the Japanese ones that never made it to America. I found emulators and translations so I could play those too.
I knew, you know what? Wrong show. This is Ask an Atheist.
That's a whole other show.
844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we are going to have an interview actually about people praying at other people. We're going to see Jenny Oyakawa talking about weird things going on in high schools in Texas. Cuz.
You know, every time I hear the news, it seems like religious groups are imposing their agenda.
Well, Eddie Tabash, a constitutional lawyer, will be at the Heretics Barbecue speaking about the invasion of religion in our laws.
What's the Heretics Barbecue?
It's a great fundraiser for the Central Valley Alliance of Atheists and Skeptics. There'll be door prizes, a silent auction, barbecue, and a chili cook-off.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
The Heretics Barbecue will be held in Clovis, California on October 25th. Tickets are on sale at cvaas.org.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
Imagine tropical waters, warm sandy beaches, friendly people, incredible weather. The English-speaking Caribbean island nation of St. Lucia awaits. Don Summers and his team at Professional Realty Group are ready to assist you. Whether you're looking for an investment, a place to retire, or a killer vacation property, St. Lucia has homes in all price ranges starting at $110,000. Call Don at 780-237-4718 and check out dndrealty.ca.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv. Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC. Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is pleased to have as our interviewer, Janie Oyakawa.
Janie Oyakawa is a parent of a high school student in Prosper, Texas, since contacting the Freedom From Religion Foundation after trying to settle a matter involving administrators leading prayers at her son's school. She and her family have become the face of a controversy that's gaining national attention. How are you doing today, Janie?
I'm pretty good.
Good, good.
Things have been a little intense.
Yeah, I expect. So, why don't you give us a little background? How did you get involved with this issue with your administrators?
So, on September 23rd, I believe it was now, there were pictures posted all over social media from the See You at the Pole event that had occurred at the school that morning. Which I'm actually don't have a problem with. Even when I was religious, participated in it when I was a high school student. But it's always supposed to be student organized, student led. And the pictures that were circulating were of the principal preaching, holding his Bible, leading worship and prayer at the CU at the Pole. And it also said that everyone was so proud that he said, as a principal, he walks with God and he has a mission to bring the students of the school to Christ. And I was like, what?
As an educator, that seems really shocking. Was this the first time that these prayer sessions were taking place, to your knowledge?
Up to my knowledge, that I know of. So I know that he's very religious and active in his religious community, but I don't have a problem with that. This was the first time I realized that that might be happening at the school. It also said that he was starting a club called First Priority, a Christian club for students. So I immediately looked up this club and I was completely taken aback because it is not just a Christian club for students, you know, to be with like-minded believers. It is specifically a proselytizing club that says they seek out non-believers to bring them to Christ in every middle school and high school in America.
And the principal wanted to start that club himself, not like a student?
The principal wanted to start that club.
Wow.
That was the way that it was being relayed through the community. Principal Wright starting this club. Since then, they have separated from that and say, "Oh no, it's student led." I don't know whether that is factual or not. I just have to kind of go off of what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to deal with this very adult like and without controversy. So I thought I will just talk to the principal and maybe he's not aware that he's not supposed to participate in these things. So I called him and we had a tense conversation. He was not open to hearing how this club or his worshiping with students might make non-Christian students uncomfortable. He said, "I've never had anyone complain before," which I'm like, that's not really a good sign that what you're doing is okay just because the minority is silent about it.
So you are not silent in this case, and you're not only just a community member, you're actually the parent of one of Principal Wright's students at the school.
Yeah.
You have a high schooler.
Yeah. And I think people say, well, he wasn't required to attend, but when you are a student, you look up to your teachers and the administration, and he needs to get a recommendation letter from an administration member within the next 2 months. So it's like these are people that he does want them to have a good impression of him, but he also feels, you know, obligated for them to have think highly of him. So there is pressure when those people in authority start preaching and saying, you know, Christ should be your first priority. That puts pressure on students.
Yeah.
So
what were some of the first steps that you took to try and resolve this? It sounds like you actually reached out to the principal.
I talked to him. Yes, and he ended the conversation with saying, "I'm not planning to stop, just so you know."
Mm. Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, this is... So I didn't leave that phone call, like, calmer about my son's culture at school. So then I emailed the principal, like, actual documentation of what the guidelines are for religion in the public schools, according to the Texas School Board Association. And I just got an email response, like, without really answering it, just said, just let me know if your son ever feels uncomfortable. And I was like, I'm letting you know that.
Yeah,
like,
what did you think the first conversation was about?
Right. Yeah, the complaints you've never gotten, now you've gotten two.
Yeah.
Right. But then communication ceased with him. He didn't respond any further. So I went to the superintendent. I got a form letter from him saying, we are within legal rights to participate if we're invited by students. I'm like, no, that's just factually incorrect. So then he said, I'm going to let you handle this with the assistant superintendent. And so I emailed him, and I got back the exact same form letter, and I responded to him similarly. And then emails also ceased from him. So I then reached out on social media and brought the subject up in a Prosper Moms Facebook group, and things just exploded. People freaked out that I was complaining about it, even though I was very level-headed and just trying to ask, try to view this from a position where this is a religion that your child's not a part of and there's pressure being created. Like, try to think of it from my point of view. That did not happen. Mm-hmm. And within 24 hours, they had created their own new group, Christian Women of Prosper, and they organized a rally to be held at the school the following day.
Oh, my goodness. Was there anyone in administration or in the community that was supportive of you at all?
No one.
Wow.
So that Friday, 2 days following the See You at the Pole, my son goes to school where hundreds of people are gathered in the parking lot under the auspice of praying to support Mr. Wright from an angry atheist mom who wants him fired because he's Christian.
And you never actually said you wanted anyone fired or anything, right?
Nope. Never said I wanted anyone fired. At this point in the timeline, I've reached out to no one besides the administration themselves and other mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, it was like immediately the straw man was built up that was factually incorrect and nowhere near what my actual position was. My son, like, ducked into the school, watches this rally go on from inside the library, and a acquaintance of his walks by and is like, you better lay low today, dude.
Oh.
And so he immediately texts, I gotta go home, I'm scared, I don't want to be here. So I was out of town at the time, traveling, so I had another friend go up there and get him, and she talked to an assistant principal on my behalf, and there was, like, she went into her office, and there's religious iconography everywhere.
Mm.
And my friend tries to make the point, how could he even come describe why he's uncomfortable and not walk in here and also be uncomfortable about the subject? And she once again said, I've never had anyone complain before.
Which, of course, you wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of the global premise in Prosper, is that they've never, it's like, we've never had any of your kind here to be upset, so really this seems to be something that you just need to work out.
Wow. My goodness. Right. It seems, though, that you do have that friend that did offer to pick up your son and help you out, so you at least have one ally.
And they're, well, and I have, since it became so public, I've had several people reach out privately to me, teachers in the school system, other personnel in the school system, other mothers, like, I'm uncomfortable about this myself, and I'm so glad you're speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
But the fervor continued, so much so that I did reach out to Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they sent a letter to the school outlining what the violations were and that they need to be corrected, which led to another rally by the community. So the following Friday, again, there were hundreds of people. Now, the school this time asked them to be off of the campus, but they were just ever so slightly off the campus at the end of the road where all the buses drive by and the kids are brought through the carpool line.
Right.
The city, two city councilmen have gotten involved, and you can hear them at the rally, you know, don't you ever let them tell you you can't pray. And they're just like screaming and building up this fervor against us. And I'm like, please tell me where I've ever said that before, because I did not say that.
Yeah. That's so frustrating, because it's like they don't understand that. They think they're standing up for something, but they don't understand the culture that would make for someone, how somebody who's outside of that culture would feel knowing that the city representatives are getting involved in this. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just, it's scary.
So I had a question actually about two questions, but the first one was, how's your son doing? This strikes me as a really, I mean, it sounds like you were saying your kid was actually pretty concerned, a little bit, probably fairly scared that first day when he was told by his friend to kind of lay low. How's the following week been?
Well, this is how he says it, because I check in with him a lot, and he says, it's not bad, he goes, but it's not good. Mm-hmm. You know, he says it's awkward. Mm-hmm. And some people that used to talk to me don't talk to me. He goes, I try to avoid busier parts of the hallway. I just have to be careful. But it's not that the students have necessarily bullied him. I feel like it's the community creating this feeling of us being so unwanted that mm-hmm. is what's hard on him. They also started a hashtag campaign for students to wear white for Mr. Wright. So there was one day at school, and this affected all of my children because it was the whole district. Moms were dressing up their second graders in white.
Oh, wow.
So my kids walked into school that day, and like, everybody that's upset at us is wearing white. My daughter in eighth grade said she'd walk in the homeroom and half the class was sitting on one side of the room in white, and like four kids in regular shirts on the other side.
Wow.
Which I think is incredibly cruel, because it's exclusionary to us, but it's also like almost making kids not involved in this at all choose sides.
Right.
Which I think
it's
unfair.
It's kind of subverting the kids and making them and kind of weaponizing them in a battle that doesn't really have to involve them in an academic setting where there's actually much more important things that need to be done.
And for all we know, the kid that came in the striped shirt, the striped green shirt, just their mom didn't get the memo. Maybe they're just as gung-ho about it.
I mean, moms forget picture day. They also forget, you know, wear your bigoted clothing day. So it's like, then it's...
Was that on the website? Was it in the calendar that they publish in Google on the district?
There's some, it should be, right? I mean, are some rather passive aggressive updates from school administration that it's like, we're not going to talk about this issue, but they still kind of do talk about the issue. Now this Christian moms group say they're going to continue these rallies on a regular basis. And at some point I feel like saying, even if this wasn't about religion, which is so emotional, if it was about you guys protesting the lunch choices in the cafeteria, at one point are the children and the school campus your commodity to air your grievances? It's just not okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot. It sounds like we've talked a lot about the situation as it's evolved. And I commend you on trying to be compassionate about this and trying to work through it in a way that isn't aggressive, in a way that isn't reactionary. What are you looking for? So what's an appropriate or what's a reasonable way to resolve this situation?
So something that has come out of it very good is this past Thursday night, I have befriended one rational, compassionate pastor in Prosper who reached out to me, and we met together, and then he arranged a meeting. There was about 16 people there, including other pastors and some people of influence in the community.
Oh, wow.
That sat down and they listened to my husband and I. They got to know us. We told them the service projects we do in the free thought community here, what our lives are kind of like, and what our problem actually was versus what the community thinks it is. Because most people don't even get past the part where it's like, I never wanted anybody fired over this. All I'm saying is, just stop. Just please follow the law.
So it's people
and
who
they
don't...
started...
People who don't stop listening at, I'm not comfortable with prayers and like, oh, you're attacking us. But these people
You're
actually want to
by
listen.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, no, I'm not offended by prayer. And I want these students to be able to organize themselves in a way that suits their conscience. That's good. But I want it to be the students, mm-hmm. plain and simple. So, and the students shouldn't be responsible for knowing the rules of employee participation, but the administration should know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I've very much tried to explain that it's about neutrality and equality and not about anti-religion issues, because that's not where I stand. So I'm very happy that happened. Now I just really wait and hope that through that small handful of rational people, the message gets disseminated to some of the angrier people. Mm-hmm. And that just my family gets back to some sort of equilibrium.
Were they able to make any commitments about actions that they would take or
Yeah, they left saying that they would continue the conversation and defend me when they hear positions that are inaccurate. And we're still talking. The pastor that organized it, we may do a similar event with a larger audience, maybe even at his church, so that people realize that, like, we're real. Like, I'm a mom, and if they got to know me as a mom, might realize that they might feel similar for their child if their child was the minority worldview at the school. So that's what I hope for.
I got to say, I'm really blown away, perhaps sadly, perhaps unjustifiedly, that a pastor was really the one that sort of started making this headway into what looks like could be a reasonable resolution. And it really can go to show that, we're not looking as atheists to make other people atheists. And even if Christians are sometimes trying to look to make other people Christians in that first priorities club. But there are Christians that aren't trying to do that and are trying to promote understanding. Right. One thing I really, really like is that, you know, separation of church and state protects both non-believers and religious groups. Once you stop having that separation of church and state, whose dominant religion is going to rule out? For all we know, there could be Catholic students at the school or Hindu students at the school that are being completely alienated in the same fashion. But I got to say, I'm really glad that there's at least one person that's willing to help disseminate that message and that voice to say, just listen to what the actual complaints are and let's see if we can resolve it in a way that engenders a culture where all students feel accepted and no one is feeling put upon, stepped on toes, things like that. I hope at least the administration is now seeing, well, here are the complaints. You can't hide behind this shield of, well, no one's ever complained about feeling uncomfortable at this point.
Right. I'm so grateful for the pastor and how much he's done to help correct the straw man that people have built up about me and our family. I'm sad that I haven't been able to have a similar conversation with any of the administration. I'm very grateful for Freedom From Religion. I'm just frustrated that I couldn't have just had that conversation from the start when I called, because I think that there's just empathy is what's missing here. Empathy. The pastor told, in a different meeting, he told one of the, administrators at the school, like, just in passing, did you know there's a free thought community in our area? You know, they have clubs and gatherings, and they were kind of flabbergasted by that. So I think it's interesting that some people really just don't think that we are here living seamlessly in the community already and just want to be treated equally.
Hey, what is the Prosper Free Thought community?
Well, we have a couple of Facebook groups. Now we border McKinney, so my address is actually that. So we have McKinney Area Secular Humanists, we have McKinney Area Freethinkers, and then I am the education director for Fellowship of Free Thought that meets in Dallas, but we are starting to have activities in this area farther north of Dallas because we're having so many members up here now.
Okay.
So there's really, three at people's disposal.
Right. Have you had any support from other groups besides FFRF, whether they be religious or free thought groups, either way?
I've had some of those local groups like be willing to do a counter rally if they continue doing these rallies, but I have kind of dissuaded people from helping me in that type of way because I do feel critical of them using the school space to have those rallies, so I don't want to then do the same myself. So not in any larger scale of help at this point.
Sounds like a really good approach.
Yeah, right. I'm as we're going through this interview and as I'm listening to you, as I think I'm feeling I'm feeling really happy to hear how you have this concern and you've raised this concern and you've tried to go through the channels that are available to you, and where there's been resistance, you haven't fought. You've just continued to push. And it feels very compassionate, and it also feels very respectful of the school environment and very respectful of the academic work that needs to happen there. I have to say you're to be commended for your approach to this, even though it's challenging your own kids, which is one of those places where a lot of people tend to like lose their marbles and get really wound. So
I really appreciate your
thoughtful approach to this.
Well, I hope that what people will listen to is that, like, I genuinely, at the end of the day, care about students feeling comfortable where they have to learn. And so people have said, you just jump to conclusions because he's Christian and you're not. No, I would have felt equally as uncomfortable if this had been an atheist principal saying, you know, everyone should read Demon Haunted World by the end of this week so that you're all rational. I would have said, no, that's inappropriate because you're going to make other kids feel uncomfortable. So it is not a religious issue as much as it is a safety issue for students, because teenagers are just balls of emotion anyway, and religion is so emotional. Mm-hmm. We should do our best to
stirring all that together can't possibly go well.
So if our listeners wanted any way to reach out or to help, is there any way anywhere we can send them that they could do anything? Like,
I would just encourage everybody to be a member of Freedom From Religion Foundation. That would be my request at this point, because I'm hoping the school says they're preparing a response, and I'm going to take that in a positive light, that if they're taking time, this much time, to prepare a response, that maybe in back rooms there's some education going on from their legal department to the administrators on how they actually should be handling religion in the school, and that it'll be a good response. But I have seen people make fun of Freedom From Religion Foundation because it has so few members, which I think shows cruelty in their thinking that you don't matter unless there's enough of you. But mm-hmm. I think it's an organization that is worth freethinkers being a member of.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate this interview. It was really great hearing from you. Janie Oyakawa is a parent of a high school student in Prosper, Texas, and is in the center of a national controversy. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And that was a pretty amazing interview.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. That's a heck of a incredible story. But why don't we keep this kids in trouble train moving on? You know? Seriously. A New Jersey priest is under arrest for pointing a Civil War era musket at an 8-year-old boy. Father Kevin Carter allegedly asked the boy into the rectory before pointing the fully functional unloaded rifle at him. Carter, a New York Giants fan, was joking about shooting the child for being a Dallas Cowboys fan, according to witnesses. One parishioner who was present complained to the Archdiocese of Newark, who in turn contacted the police. Well, we found
it. All right, we have found the end of all of these stories. It's all like wrapped into this one thing. So when we saw this in the show notes, my literal response was, we need to take this one point by point. And I literally feel like we need to go line by line, word by word, and the problem is, we only have a limited amount of time on the show, and we may run out of time just talking about New Jersey.
A New Jersey priest is under arrest after pointing a Civil War era musket at an 8-year-old boy.
So we need to talk about New Jersey, we need to talk about priests, we need to talk about the police being involved because he's under arrest, and we need to talk about a Civil War era musket. Then we need to talk about Father Kevin Carter asking the boy into the rectory, so inviting him in before pointing a fully functional, so it's like a working Civil War era musket.
Yeah, no Snickers bar when he's pointing a musket at you.
Right,
yeah.
And then we need to talk about the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And then we need to talk about their fabled rivalry against the Dallas Cowboys.
Is okay. that actually a
back,
thing?
We need to go back to New Jersey in order to talk about the fact that New York fans and New Jersey fans are both united in one thing, and that is?
They hate the Cowboys.
They hate the Cowboys.
Well, because New Jersey is so close to Dallas.
But the thing is, New Jersey is split in half. You got in the north part of New Jersey, you have the Giants fans. In the south part of New Jersey, which is right next to Philly, you have the Eagles fans. And Phillies fans and Giants fans, the only thing they agree on is they all hate the Cowboys.
What about Hotel California?
Everyone hates Hotel California.
That's what I thought. Okay. We had two things.
But it's such a lovely place. Such a lovely place.
You can check out, but you can't ever leave. It's like New Jersey.
Yeah. We could go on.
Then we continue moving through the story.
Before we continue on, I just want to repeat this segment of a sentence because this is something that I actually had to write, that a priest was joking about shooting the child for being a Dallas Cowboys fan. I can't believe I wrote that sentence
Isn't the world kind of awesome in a really terrifying way sometimes? I mean, it's like, that's a great sentence. It's a massive sentence. It says so much. It's so loaded with ideas. It's incredibly American because it's a gun and cowboys in it. And
Dallas and a child.
And a priest. No bar.
Yeah, no ball.
This is the setup for every joke. So then we need to continue through the story, and we need to get to what I believe, and I think you're absolutely right. This is the punchline of the story.
This is amazing.
This is where it gets real.
I think this might be the punchline of the entire Catholic Church.
Is that the parishioner who was present complained to the Archdiocese of Newark. In other words, a parishioner who noticed this was happening spoke to leadership of the church, and the leadership's response was...
Call the cops.
The police. So in other words, we've been talking about a lot of different situations where people go to the leadership of the church and are like, hey, there's a thing going on. And you know what they don't do, like, ever? Is call the cops.
But I think we found is a gun or is a Civil War musket like an enzyme for police calling in the Catholic Church?
Exactly. Father McClanahan was molesting this boy with a Civil War era musket.
Call the cops.
911, what is your emergency? There's a Civil War era musket involved in a molestation at a Catholic church.
So here's what you do.
Sending this fuzz.
So you get you know, the way apparent, you know, cops don't actually plant guns on people. You get those socks, mm-hmm. and you just take those to church, and every time you run into something bad, you just sort of throw a gun and go, hey, look! Problem solved.
This is great. It's like a Shaggy Dog. A Civil War era musket was found at the scene.
Call the cops.
Call 50.
It's just nice to know that there is a line at which bishop thinks calling the cops is a good idea. It's nice to know that there is proof of concept out there now that this is something that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. There is some situation where the page one response in the response binder that they pull off the shelf, page one is call the cops.
It's just not
the binder that we want it to be in.
I'm going to need the office assistant to go to the copier, make a whole bunch of copies of that page, and put them in the front page of every binder.
Right.
Yes.
Maybe it's in the binder, but it's not there with the phone number. They're like, somebody get me the phone number for 911.
No, you got the wrong number.
I can't believe you just did that one.
Simpsons reference. Very nice.
Yeah. Okay. Air Force dental technician Deborah Schoenfeld was fired after her coworkers accused her of being a witch. Schoenfeld alleges that harassment from colleagues included calling her spawn of Satan and criticism of her yoga practice. Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which has taken up her case, contends that the harassment violates both Air Force directives and the U.S. Constitution. Of Schoenfeld's Catholic replacement... Okay. Offending employees reportedly stated, "It's good to see we got an angel, since last time we had the devil." In addition to being referred to as the Hindu witch, Schoenfeld was also encouraged by supervisors to pray against same-sex marriage. A Civil War musket was found on the scene. I like
and
it.
And a shaggy dog.
And a shaggy dog.
This is pretty incredible story because it's like this woman went up the chain of command, and at every level of the chain of command she ran into another evangelical crazy person who's like, well, you need to start praying. You need Jesus. Here, have a Bible.
She ran into everything that we've come to expect from the leadership of the Air Force. No, I'm serious. I mean, that's actually like one of the things that makes this story actually surprisingly unsurprising is that it's the Air Force.
Okay.
So it's like kind of like hashtag Florida man. It's hashtag Air Force leadership is evangelical. Like that.
It's not just Air Force. It's pretty widespread.
It isn't. But the Air Force leadership, by virtue of being co-located with, you know, the Christian industrial complex in Colorado Springs,
right,
is heavily invested and steeped in Christian evangelical tradition. And it's just shuffled into the academy. It's shuffled into all of the leadership, and it's all over the place. And so what we're seeing here is an Air Force dental technician who, believe it or not, works for, like, Dentcom. Sort of. You should read the thing. So at every layer of leadership, that she worked her chain of command. She didn't freak out. She didn't go yelling at everybody. She didn't go on Facebook and start a group or whatever. She went through her chain of command, which is what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
As a contractor, not even as a full, like, you know, a member of the military, but as a contractor who understands the process, she went through the process. And at every step, she was told, well, you just need to go with it because you're the one who's the Hindu witch, not us.
So I got a question. Is she actually a Hindu?
Yes.
Or do they just tack that on because it's scary sounding?
So she, I believe, so there's pieces of this about herself, describing herself as Hindu.
Ah.
But the actual components of Hinduism that she seems to be connecting with are yoga and meditation, both of which are highly aggressive and very violent.
Oh, yeah.
As anyone who has seen yoga or meditation, or yoga and meditation at the same time, can affirm.
Well, yoga, meditation, and a Civil War musket. Well, all right, there you go.
Now it's a ball game.
Yeah.
It's like Kevin Kline in A Fish Called Wanda. I'm meditating. It's what the Buddhists used to do before they went to war.
So she also happens to practice certain components of Wicca, which is and Wiccans actually describe themselves as
witches.
Witches.
Yeah, so, I was gonna bring that up.
So we've got the right terminology. That's all fine. It's being combined, and they're deciding that the witchness has to do with the Hinduness, which is, you know, standard practice for people who don't know what they're doing.
Right.
But it It's still a hostile work. It's a super hostile.
It's a hostile work environment. Oh, my stars and garters.
Right. It's a hostile work environment. And the reason it's a hostile work environment is because all she's doing is yoga and meditation.
Yeah. Like, well, presumably she's also cleaning teeth at some point.
Well, right. There's also her job.
Is she, like, using, like, downward facing dog to use it to, like, clean plaque? I don't know how that works.
I don't think it's been part of the protocol.
Okay. Yeah.
The American Dental Association hasn't, like, weighed in on that part.
But just, you know, poor woman likes her some yoga because she's probably kind of a hippie, is my guess.
Yeah.
And she shows up to work and there might as well be a steak with some kindling and firewood surrounding it. It's like,
yeah, kind of a bad week for witches, isn't
it?
Because, I mean, between this and then Groot coming out with a movie, The Last Witch Bender, or whatever.
I like that title so much better.
I forget what it is. I don't know. I was at the Ale House watching, you know, just sort of the thing came on. I was like, what the heck is it? Is this another, what's his face? Pitch Black movie? I was like, well, is it that guy?
I don't think it's that.
No, but he's the last guy. I don't.
I want to say I want that movie to be a sort of playing itself as seriously possible, the most absurdly stupid movie ever. Like,
okay,
they know it's dumb. The entire thing's a joke, but they're gonna play it as straight. You know, like Airplane. What
sure,
makes Airplane
sure.
funny is that Leslie Nielsen acted like it was a joke.
They're never in on the joke.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell because part of the reason I think that worked in Airplane was because it was. Except for the fact that it was on an airplane, it was fairly normal situations. I don't know if you can play it straight and get the same thing coming across when you've got a woman whose face briefly turns into tree snakes, and then there's a plastic hurricane behind her with other tree snakes.
I think you should just go with, like,
graphics are weird.
Not hearing the preview, just seeing it with no sound, and just like, yep, I've had my experience of this movie. It's exactly what I need it to be.
Well, okay, I apologize. I apparently was not at the Ale House, so I don't know what the
as much as I know.
It's called The Last Witch Hunter, although I much prefer The Last Witch Bender.
Okay. All right. And it's a Vin Diesel vehicle.
It is a Vin Diesel joint.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I like Vin Diesel. He's got a D&D character tattooed on him. That
dude's a nerd.
That's some ownership.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you know, yes, the D&D connection the D&D connection for Vin Diesel is always awesome. For me, it's always the fact that he's played characters that don't really rely on his visual. Like, he played Groot. He played the Iron Giant.
Yeah, he was the Iron Giant.
Hey, so, coming up on the top of the hour, so I gotta get this in. Ask an Atheist co-creator, Jeremy Wimmen, he's a host on the show. He's gonna be headlining a comedy show at the Black Star in Tacoma, Saturday, October 17th at 9 p.m. That's 158th South 100th in Tacoma, Washington. Cover is $5.
Go see him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jeremy's funny.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm usually there. Go to the late one.
The Blue Show.
Yes.
Yeah. He's all My Little Pony and Puppies, the first show.
He's probably My Little Pony's the second show, but for a very different sort of take on it.
Yeah, he's your little.
I gotta read this one. I know we're coming up against this,
All right, let's do it.
Wow. A Tennessee county voted to pass a resolution asking for God to spare the county when he inevitably destroys the nation over marriage equality. Blount County Commissioner Karen Miller sponsored the resolution, which asks that God not destroy the county as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. The resolution also asks Tennessee officials to protect natural marriage from what it calls lawless court opinions and accuses the Supreme Court of using powers not delegated to them. Reading comprehension, not their thing. Lawless court opinions.
Lawless court opinions.
Right. Yeah.
I love the Constitution, just not the courts that the Constitution established.
Right. Yeah. That only makes sense if you capitalize lawless in reference to Lucy.
Yeah, I got the sugar-free sucrose downstairs that you really gotta try. It's pretty amazing.
Right. It's like that corn sugar.
Lawless court opinions.
This is just so absolutely crazy. When you read this resolution, it's just, it like reads like, you know, The Last Witchbender. Like,
right, yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts. And she, like, these people have no clue. Like, this is just blatantly illegal. You can't use government to say, Dear God.
Is this blatantly illegal, or is this just stupid?
I believe this would be... It's definitely stupid. These are not mutually exclusive.
This is like voting for a state Hot Pocket. This doesn't mean anything.
Right. So that this is my response to this, is that like, okay, fine. Go ahead and vote for it. It's not going to matter.
Yeah.
It's not like God is going to go through and say like, okay, so which counties in Tennessee have actually voted to pass this resolution asking to be spared, and we need to put them all on our nice list, and everyone else gets nuked because they're on the naughty list.
And they get
destroyed, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah. They all get turned into spice or whatever.
Spice.
Right?
Spice Girls.
And then the Atreides come. But unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for today. This is Ask an Atheist. You can call us at 844-753-7842. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Hit us up on Twitter at askanatheistwa. This was fun.
Yay!
Woo! See you guys next week. Woot!
You didn't get-